Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. Reading verses 1 to 5. Book of Matthew, chapter 5, reading verses 1 to 5. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. In Matthew chapter 3, we see the Lord was baptized. And chapter 4, verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So that is the point where he began his ministry. But before that, we also see that he was tempted by Satan for 40 days and nights. And after he victoriously came out of that temptation, then he began his ministry by saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. So when he says the kingdom of heaven is at hand means, or near, or close to you. And before we read that one, book of John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 13. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man who is in heaven. So, if people are still turning pages, I will read it again. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man who is in heaven. So the Lord was saying to Nicodemus that no man hath ascended unto heaven so far. But the one who has descended from heaven, and even the Son of Man who is in heaven. So he is talking about himself, that is Lord Jesus Christ, who came down from heaven. And before that nobody has ascended. And now the one who has descended from heaven is in the heaven. So he is the one who ascended. The one who has ascended unto heaven is also the one who has descended from heaven. So now he is saying that he is in heaven in that verse. But actually he is on the earth. So while he was on the earth, he is saying that he is in heaven. So that means he is in both the places. He is in heaven or in heaven, earth. Or another possibility is, another dimension is that the Lord bringing the heaven along with him. So then only that word will be fulfilled. The one who is speaking, he says, the one who is in heaven. That means either he should be in heaven while talking, or here, if he is here, then the world, the heaven should come along with him. Then only that word will be fulfilled. So what he meant to say was that I came down from heaven and nobody had ascended unto heaven but the one who is in heaven. So actually he is in heaven, or he is bringing the heavens along with him while he was here. So with that precept, then he continued his ministry wherever he went. Now we come back to Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. So he said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So that means, now the thing, along with me, the heavenly order I have brought down with me. So it is not me alone here. The kingdom of heaven, the government of the heavens, all the angels, the order, the holiness and the power, everything is now moving along with me. So when you understand what I am going to convey to you, that you listen and you repent and you come unto me. That was the message of the Lord. So once that is over, then he moved along with his disciples. Then after he said so, we have to come back to Book of John's Gospel, chapter 1. Book of John's Gospel, chapter 1. Verse 36, verse 35 onwards. Again, the next day after John stood and the two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and said unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He said unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his brother Simon, and said unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, "the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, "Follow me." And Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, "We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." So now first company of disciples, Andrew, Philip, Nathanael, everybody was now brought immediately after the day of our Lord Jesus Christ's baptism. So now when we come back to Matthew chapter 5, so this is the picture where his disciples are coming into. His baptism is over. He started proclaiming the good news about the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He already formed a small nucleus of the disciples, not all the 12, but few. And they came with him, and he started proclaiming the God's word to them. So now they went to mountain, verse 1, Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. Because the multitudes were following, because if you read chapter 4, verse 23 onwards, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought him all sick people that were taken with the diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with demons, and those which were lunatics, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. So this verse 25 of group of people are also found in chapter 5, verse 1. So those are the multitudes, because he started healing so many groups of people with the various diseases. Now they were attracted to the Lord, because they found someone who can really heal any kind of disease, if at all, in them. And the disciples were brought out after the baptism, the Philip, Andrew, Nathanael, and Peter, and some others. Now, as the multitudes have followed, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. So when he went into the mountain, only his disciples came unto him, and he was set. So in the Jewish people, we see that it is not that the way we see in the churches normally, they have a pulpit and there is a platform. The preacher stand up and speak. But here, the Lord was sitting and speaking to his disciples like any other family setting. And in verse 2, he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "And blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So he started speaking to his disciples. So before all the 12 disciples were formed as a group and followed him at a later stage from Galilee to Judea. But in the beginning also, then he started speaking about the kingdom of heaven. Either 4:17 also we have seen, Matthew 4:23 also. And now he wanted to speak to them. So when he started speaking about it, it is also called chapter 5, 6, 7 is also called as a Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount is about the kingdom of heaven and the principles where the kingdom of God in operation, how it will be our basis of that kingdom of in operation, or the life which is needed to be, or it portrays this kind of a character in that kingdom. That is what the Lord teaches his disciples. All these initial disciples were from the Jewish background. And everybody, for example, Nathanael, as we read in John's Gospel chapter 1, so they were thorough with the law. He said, "Is there anything good come out of the Nazareth?" That means, so he is well versed. There is nothing going to come out of the Nazareth. So it is from Galilee. So they were all looking for Bethlehem, Judea and everything. So they were well versed with what is written in the law. When the Lord started speaking to them, he is going to introduce a new dimension, the new dispensation which is going to begin. The law is going to soon end. Book of Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. And for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John." So now the law and the prophets have prophesied until John. The John is the one who has baptized our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that dispensation is going to end here. The new dispensation is going to begin. And in that context, the Lord is now introducing the new dimension and how after his resurrection, the things are going to unfold. And while he was here, he has manifested that life and also taught his disciples. Began with these beatitudes in the chapter 5 of the first few verses. And we read only 3 verses. We shall see then how it will go. So we need to understand now the Lord, when he started teaching, that he wanted to convey the message. Now it is going to be a new dispensation of the principles of godly order which is going to come into play. Only after John the Baptist, the law and prophets are prophesied. So John the Baptist was the last one. And hereafter, now it is the new dispensation, beginning with the Lord's teaching, and now soon that he will be crucified in 3.5 years later, and a third day that he will be resurrected, and everything will be set into the 50th day the church will come into form after his resurrection. So for that one, now he is laying the foundation, how the new dispensation, or how those whom he is going to call, those who will be saved by his precious blood, and on whom they believe, on whom he is going to bestow the gift of the Holy Spirit, they would live for him, he started explaining. And how they should live, and what it really means, the kingdom or the authority of God, which is now prevailing in the heaven, should also come into their lives. While he was here upon the earth, he manifested that. He not only brought the king, the heavens along with him. In heavens, how the order of the things would prevail. Not the manifestation of the God's power along with him, but he wanted to manifest the life of the heavens and how God looks at a man should behave or live, and what is his heart or what is upon his heart, he manifested in these three chapters. So that is why it is very important for all of us to understand the tenor or the life or the thread in these passages, what is continue to speak to the character of the kingdom. So though many mysteries we may understand, when the Lord is coming, how is he going to come, who is going to go, who is not going to go, who will remain, what will happen to those people who will remain, it is all good. But without the life which is mentioned in these three chapters, that is no good for us. So this is very important. And we need to understand, we need to apply, live, experience, and get ready for the coming of the Lord. And those who truly live in these chapters, and every verse when it becomes really an experience and a life unto them, and those are sure to go with the Lord, because that is what the Lord's heart is. So we will read the first verse in verse 3. Blessed are the poor in the spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So he began with the spirit. If you read the Old Testament in book of Exodus chapter 19, when the Lord descended at Mount Zion, book of Exodus chapter 19, verse 3, and Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, and saying, thus shall thou say the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. So there the Lord descended to the mount, and he started speaking to the Moses. So when God has given to the, Moses the Ten Commandments, then in the following we see that how the law was given to the Moses. And now the Lord, who it is at that time, he came and spoke only to Moses, appeared to the 70 elders, and everybody, that mountain which is full of smoke, and nobody was, it was quaking, and nobody was able to touch the mountain. But in the New Testament, the Lord has left all his glory, taken the form of a man. He was sitting along with his disciples. And on the mountain, then he started saying about the new dispensation which is going to begin soon. So there, he gave the law. But now he started speaking the New Testament and how that will be run and what it is going to be. And in the Old Testament, when he spoke with Moses about the law, and everything, it is by the letter. So that everything that he said, you should not steal, you should not covet, and you should love your God with all thy heart, with all thy strength, with all thy might. And similarly, love thy neighbor as thyself. But all those things, it is coming from the power of a man. So the man initiates according to his willpower, which can be operational in his life or her life. Then according to that, the man learning to do the things of God. But in Romans we see that according to nobody will be able to fulfill the law, because though we know perfectly what is written in the law, the man has got not the ability to do it. And that is how the man failed. That we read in book of Romans, and also the argument of Paul in Galatians, both the places. Though Paul said in Philippians that as far as the law is concerned, I was blameless. But if it is to be continued throughout his life, we don't know what it would be. So he realized that cannot be completed by any man. Whom he said in Romans chapter 3, So whatever God has presented as the law on the mount, and now in the New Testament, our Lord is presenting a different aspect. So first he started, blessed are the poor in the spirit, and this is the kingdom of heaven. So if anybody who has to enter into that kingdom in the millennial reign, and to experience what it means, the heavenly government or the order, or to live under the authority of that heavenly king or God, then the first important principle in their life is the blessed are poor in the spirit. In the Old Testament, it is according to the physical blessings they received, how wealthy you are and how greatly you are recognized in the society, and how every work of yours was blessed by God. That is how the blessings were considered in the Old Testament. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verses 3 to 6. Deuteronomy 28, 3 to 6. Blessed shall thou be in the city, and blessed shall thou be in the field. Blessed shall be fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed thou shalt be when thou comest in, and blessed thou shalt be when thou goest out. So the blessings in the Old Testament is of that manner. But in the New Testament it is different, when the Lord said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So there are two things we see. One, the condition of the heart now in a person's life, and ultimate result. There in the Old Testament it is observing the law and the Lord blessing them. But here it is the condition of our heart. And the condition of our heart is, the blessed is the one who is poor in the spirit, poor in spirit. So in the Old Testament, the order is learning to live by the letter. But in the New Testament, as Paul said in book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the spirit. For the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. If the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. So even if they have received any blessing, but that is all to be gone. But now here what we see is, it is not the letter of the New Testament, it is from the, by the Spirit. So the one, now if anybody recognizes, as we all know, that the formation of the man was, creation of the man was, God breathed in the breath of lives, and one of the life was coming from God, that is the spiritual life. And that spiritual life, in the Old Testament, though occasionally few people have risen to the occasion and came in contact in spirit, like David and Abraham and Moses, but most of the people, in the vast majority of the people, did not have that experience. They lived by the letter. And they could not really comprehend in spirit what really God meant in giving that letter. So the concept behind giving that letter, they always ignored, like Pharisees in the New Testament. But when Lord began his ministry, that he wanted to initiate from the beginning, that the man now should come under quickening, should come under the experience of how the spirit, when it is quickened, and come, man will come into the relationship with God, and with that relationship, whatever now the precepts, the things which the Lord is going to teach them, will be brought into the fulfillment of their lives. So it was an entirely new concept. Earlier, man was everything learning to do by his power, his strength, his desire. Now that is not the concept which the Lord is introducing here. It is everything a man should learn to live or come under the influence of the Spirit which is in him, and when it is quickened by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit will continue to bring him to, will enable them to experience the power of the heavens, or the mind of God will communicate to them and also gives them strength according to their desire. And then they will be able to fulfill the heart of or the law of God very joyfully. And for that matter, when a person realizes that what is his inability not to do the things of God. So for example, in the New Testament, when we are all quickened by God's Spirit and we are all born again and our relationship in spirit with God has been formed by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has convicted us, brought us into the relationship, and he has opened our eyes to see and what he has done, wonderful work on the cross, and how he has shed his precious blood, our sins are forgiven, a new relationship is formed, and then when the Spirit was quickened, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, if anybody is in Christ, he became a new creation, not out of the flesh and the blood, but he was born through the Spirit, as John's Gospel chapter 1. And with that experience, when man come into the relationship with God in spirit, and when he realizes the tenor and the heart and the principles of kingdom, when a man is willing to walk by those things, and when he also recognizes there is a soulical life which is actually stopping him not to do the things of the Lord, and when he, that struggle, in that context of that struggle, a man recognizes God is a spirit, God has quickened me, God has brought me to the relationship with him, and I need to follow him in spirit, but in me there is a poverty. That is, I am not able to do the things in spirit the way God wanted in my life. So if a man recognizes the poverty, that where he is failing to walk in spirit, to do the things of the Lord, he said that is the blessing. In the Old Testament, when a man, he was doing the things according to the letter, let us turn to the example of a book of Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. Book of Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. And verse 9 onwards. Book of Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So here we see the mind and the heart of a Pharisee. He said, I did everything. So those who are fulfilling the law, even before the conversion in the life of Paul, that is what he said. I was born in a Benjamin's tribe, circumcised, I read, and I followed law, and I was blameless. That is I everywhere. So that is the heart of a person who is trying to live by the letter. But when the New Testament, and when we realize that now our life is a new, we were made new creation in the Christ, and his principles of adopting a new life we need his power and strength. It is not that I can do it. Nobody will be able to do that. But when he quickened our inner spirit by the power of his Holy Spirit, and he is willing to supply that strength. So as a Christians, many of us, what we do is trying to fulfill the 5, 6, 7 chapters of Matthew by our strength. Then we are going back to Pharisees, or the Old Testament, or the letter, or the power of the man. But when a man immediately recognizes, Lord, this is something wonderful. This is a purpose, or these are the principles in my mortal body, where I live in this place. You are asking me to live as if I live in heaven, because the order, the principles, the life, you are speaking about the things of the heaven or the heavenly life itself. And in that manner, if I have to live that life, I don't have any ability. I am very poor. I am beggarly. And I don't think that I can do it. But my desire, if anybody is willing to do that, that is what the Lord is saying. Blessed is the one who is poor in the spirit, and theirs is the kingdom. That means when a man recognizes his inability to live the principles of God in the New Testament, and he expresses his humbleness, and not something what he can do, but what he wants to do and how he wants to live according to the word of God, then he will bless them. See, in the Old Testament, it is everything by the power of the man. But in the New Testament, the beginning itself is, you humble yourself, recognize your inability, and ask the Lord, and express your desire to live the way the Lord wanted to live you. And if you have that kind of a heart, the Lord said, that is the poverty, that is the poorness. I don't think anybody can boast that I am able to live on my own. Paul said in book of, I think in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, chapter 15, sorry, verse 9 and 10. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I am persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace was bestowed upon me and was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, but yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. So the one who has labored so vastly, and his life was committed and given to the cause of Christ, and for the edification of so many saints across of countries, he says, it is not I, but it is the grace of God which was with me, which has made me to labor more than all of them. But in the Old Testament, that would have been different spirit. But anyone now who recognizes and realizes the condition of his heart, and also the provision and the resources which God made available in spirit, and those who humble themselves, and come and ask the Lord, Lord, you have made me a new creation in Christ. I wanted to live according to the principles which were laid down in the New Testament, and especially the chapters 5, 6, 7 of Matthew. They may become real in my life. I don't think that I can do the way the things are done by either a Pharisee or anybody else in the Old Testament. But I wanted to live a newness of life in spirit. My life need to be led by the power of that spirit, which was quickened in me by thy grace. And thou may make the same grace available for me, so that I may learn to live every day according to the principles of that grace in spirit, to experience the kingdom of heaven, the order of the heavens in my life. If we recognize the condition of our heart and our beggarly condition of our fallen nature, which continues to conflict with our desires to follow the Lord, he says, they are blessed. That means when they humbly plead with the Lord to supply the strength to live in spirit, By the power of the Spirit, he is going to offer that help. Then like Paul say, at the end of our life, we will say, we are not led by sight, but by faith. It is not the Spirit, it is not the law, but it is the Spirit. And if you walk, if you crucify your body, then you are led by the Spirit, then you will not fulfill the lust of the body. And all the way the victory comes and follows you. And the Lord also said in the book of Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2. 66 verse 2. For all those things hath mine and mine hand had made, and all those things have been, said the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. See the Lord's promise, the same thing in the Old Testament also he said. But in the New Testament, it is all applies to us. And those who tremble at his word, Lord, this is thy word. I want to live according to that word. Every word which is written in that testament, New Testament. And I may be able to live according to thy principles. And you look at me. That is what it means, the verse 3, what we read in Matthew chapter 5. And the book of Psalms chapter 51. Verse 17. The sacrifices of God are broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou will not despise. So either a humble spirit or a contrite spirit or a broken spirit or a beggarly spirit, they are all same. So a man recognizing his inability, but also with an earnest expression of his desire to walk in the Spirit, to do the things of the Lord by using the power of the heavens. That is a blessing in the New Testament. But when our heart is like in the Old Testament, looking for so many things which we see here and considering that is a real blessing, that we are not understanding what God is actually speaking. So, on the light of these portions which we read, we need to re-evaluate our considerations for the blessings. And also, we should ask the Lord, create a new desire to live according to the power of that Spirit. And wherever we are feeling that need, then we may ask the Lord with a contrite and a broken heart, Lord, fill me, live in me, and lead me, my life, according to the power of that Spirit. So that everything, all the principles what you have told in these three chapters may become a reality in my life. Though I live here in a mortal body, but I may truly experience the life and the power of the heavens living in my life. So we will close with this verse today. But those who are wanted to pray, a couple of people can pray and close the meeting.